What up, what up, everybody? This is Double G for the Fight Game Podcast. This is going to feel like an old school Fight Game Podcast here because we're actually going to talk about some NXT. Oh my God, I didn't know how soon we were going to be talking NXT, but I guess it's worth talking about because there's news about NXT. So John's been watching. I haven't. I'm going to play a little bit of like pros and cons here about this brand and whether or not people should pay attention to it again. I think the ratings were even up this week as well.
Yeah.
You've been going through the COVID with the kids and the wife and such of late. And my stepdaughter just got it.
Oh.
And so she's been quarantined in her room. And it's funny because we have an old baby monitor.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have that just in near my office. And so whenever she needs anything, she just hits me up. And then I use the little voice control thing and I just ask her questions and bother her and ask her if she still has the coronavirus.
She still has it.
Yeah, I just ask her, do you still have the Rona? Yes. I think she's feeling better. She still feels sick though, for sure. One of the twins, one of my stepsons, he's got walking pneumonia, thankfully it wasn't COVID. And then, so, you know, Crystal and I haven't got it yet at all. Like we've never gotten it. So she was kind of feeling a little ill. She took a test. She's negative, but she went to bed and she's like, I keep coughing, so I think I'm just gonna sleep downstairs. I'm gonna make sure just in case, because she's probably gonna take another test in the morning, because she's got to be really careful because she's got a staff and she sees kids. So you know, she's probably gonna go to get a PCR test and not rely on these home tests. So yeah, man, I'm crossing my fingers, but sooner than later it's coming. It's like the boogeyman.
Yeah, I think everyone's going to be touched by it, sadly. But I hope everyone gets better soon. I mean, it wasn't too bad for us, but hopefully it won't be too bad for you guys.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to talk about some NXT, then we'll talk about tonight's AEW Dynamite, which is leading toward next week's Grand Slam week, with Dynamite and Rampage having big matches, 4 hours of AEW TV next week. And we are still coming off of the all-out scrum and that, and still no mention of Punk, no mention of the Bucks, no mention of Kenny Omega, though I think Omega was in Japan, just something about the video game. I saw Brian Alvarez reported that the folks who were sort of trying to break up what was going on and who were suspended, though, sounds like all of those folks are not suspended now. So there's a little bit of advancement here in this this ordeal as far as the investigation is concerned. But yeah, it's slow, man. It's so weird to me, and I mean I completely understand why, but it's just like, you know, imagine, you know what it kind of reminds me of? This whole angle with CM Punk and Kenny Omega and the Bucks, this is Family Matters. Do you remember, I don't remember what season it was, but the youngest daughter, she's just eliminated from the TV show and no one ever mentions her again?
I mean, that's happened in a lot of shows, right?
Yeah, it's
but I don't remember that.
But like, a lot of times, like, there are other shows, like, Valerie's family becomes Hogan's family. Valerie leaves the show, but they explain it, right? Like, she passed away or whatever the story was. But here, because they haven't said anything, it reminds me of the Family Matters thing, because the daughter just literally went away with no explanation whatsoever.
She gone.
Yeah, she's gone.
CM Punk, he gone.
He gone.
For now, and we'll see. We'll see. I hope he's still kind of... Come on, everyone comes back. Come on, everyone come back.
I know, but it's just
still
weird how
with Punk, you know, he's always had good television segments and stuff.
It's just like this episodic television show. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to watch every little smidgen of stuff that's supposed to make some sense on BTE and on the little YouTube videos and social media. And those fans who do, I mean, I commend them for being that in touch with that show, with that universe. And then it's just like, you guys know you're smart and we can't say anything. It's just so weird to me. Wrestling's so weird.
Well, it's weird, maybe, because the investigation, they just can't say anything right now.
Of course. I mean, of course, but it's like,
I get it. They don't want to like overshadow what's going on, you know, with the television. You know, you don't want that just to overshadow it, but
just imagine you're watching Dynasty and then something happens and then the next week they're like, just pretend it never happened because we can't talk about it.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, like, you know, like the Goldbergs, like the dad on the show, like he got in some just issues on set. I don't know, like, it was mostly like just a lot of people didn't like working with him. Very verbal.
Yeah, it seems like he wasn't that nice of a guy to some folks.
Yeah, and so like half the season they're using like extra footage they had of him, and then and now they're gonna jump the season come up. They're jumping a few years ahead, and they're just gonna kill him off.
Yeah. All right. So before we get into the Dynamite show, let's talk about NXT. You recapped, or you've actually talked about it on the Take It Home podcast a couple of times recently. So It's definitely caught your eye again. Now, the last time I brought up NXT, you were like, please, no, we cannot review it again. Like, and I agree with you. I like doing the show better this way, where we talk about, you know, we do a little bit of an intro talking about some things in wrestling, and then we review the show, or we have an interview at the end. I actually like doing it better this way, but you know, you were like, no, we can't do, you know, it's just not that good of a show to watch every week, like on the night that it happens. And it seems like I know Paul Fontaine really likes this show. Jeremy's talking about this show. I know some of the folks who were watching, the few folks who were watching NXT UK weekly have kind of gravitated over because their favorites from NXT UK are now all over this show. So I want to quiz you, not quiz, but I want to just pick your brain about why all of a sudden this NXT 2.0 show has gone from some of the dirt worst wrestling that we've ever seen to something that is watchable and worthy of keeping up with again. So my first question is, what have been like the big changes to this show? And I'm assuming a lot of this sort of happened when Triple H was back, you know, was in control. So then he's sort of back in control of NXT with Shawn Michaels and such. I imagine that's kind of the turning point. But what is different about this show than from when you and I were reviewing it?
Well, I just think there's little the talent's better with the influx of the NXT UK guys and gals. They're, you know, they're just those guys and gals are just solid workers. And you know, NXT 2.0 was mostly just these green kids, right? Mm-hmm. Wrestling each other and just trying to figure it all out. And now you got these really talented guys and girls from NXT UK. And so the match quality has been kind of back to what we kind of remember it with the black and gold. There's still some, and now they're going to be trying to, they're still good. They're still, I mean, they're not all gone, the green kids, right? They're not just taking away them, but they're, now they're working with people that can go and help them get better. It's kind of like what we saw before.
Mm-hmm. So the way that NXT was going was 2 hours live show, bad wrestling, like stuff that should have been pre-taped, angles that didn't make sense. Like the thing that we hated the most when we were reviewing NXT 2.0 was they do these heavily edited segments of where they're like, these people are acting, and they were always so bad and so awful. Jokes were horrendous, lots of very stereotypical jokes. Has that part of the show changed?
It's been toned down, I think, because I like Cora Jade had a promo like last night and it was just horrendous, and that was a pre-tape promo. It was just, I don't know. I'm wondering how long her push is going to continue, because there's just more talented women out there to have. And there's a little bit of that, but not as much lately. A lot more wrestling, a lot more time in the ring this time. Before, before they were, they'd have shorter matches, more shtick. now they're getting more action in the ring, and we're still getting some shtick, but it's not as bad as it was before.
Okay. When it comes to, obviously, Braun is the champion, and he's very good for his level of actual wrestling time. I know Carmelo Hayes just lost his title, but he's probably my favorite guy in that company. But what about these guys who they were hitting us over the head with constantly? Mm-hmm. Now, I know you like Grayson Waller. We were a little bit on the other side of that. His shtick was getting really old with me. But there were other guys. Solo Sikoa was one of them. It's like, just going to keep pushing them. But there were some other ones. Von Wagner. I forget the other folks that they were just, no matter what, even no matter how bad this stuff was, that they just kept putting them out there. Is that still happening?
Not as much with the, like, getting a lot more TV times. People like Nathan Frazier, A-Kid, who's now with a mask character, which is actually pretty good. And I really like A-Kid. I think he'd be fine without the mask, but I can also see him as a nice, like, you know, middle of the card baby face on the main roster with this mask gimmick, you know, a little superhero gimmick for the kids kind of deal. You know, we still got Caden Carter and Caden Canizaro. I don't know why they're still, I mean, they're like probably one of the worst in the roster, in my opinion. I just not really fans of their work. But, you know, Von Wagner has improved from what I've seen a few times that I've seen him wrestle. I think he's wrestling this week coming up. I think they taped it today. He's wrestling Sanga. Remember good old Sanga?
Oh, yeah.
The giant with Grayson Waller?
Yeah.
He's a bay face now. So they're wrestling. But Von Wagner's improved. He's feeling, he doesn't look as lost. You know, he doesn't look like he's thinking too much out there. He looks like he's finally getting to his character. Grayson Waller's great. I love that guy. I think that guy's fantastic. He's having a little fun program with Apollo Crews. Again, there's now going to be influx of, you know, when the guys need a little refresher, you send them there, you know. I think it's good. And also now with Solo Sikoa, the NXT North American champion, he's also going to be with the Bloodline as well on SmackDown, right? Mm-hmm.
He was on SmackDown last week.
And Raw. Now NXT is not a bad word to say on the main roster television. Now people are going to be saying, like, well, what's that belt? You know, and they're going to be talking about it. He's the NXT North American champion, one on Tuesdays, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think that's Triple H's vision. Like, it's all going to be connected again. So that's, you know, I think that's one of the strongest positives, I think, going on. Now it's not just the stepchild. That's the, you know, redhead stepchild. That's like on Tuesdays that we're not going to mention. We're going to bury all the champions, etc.
Yeah.
No, we're going to feature. We're going to talk about the history of NXT. We're going to talk about people winning championships in the past. You know, like a Karrion Kross and stuff. And we're going to focus on, you know, we're going to allow the champions to be on our main show and get people's more eyes on Tuesdays and help that rating out.
But as we know with AEW, it can get a little murky where you have that extra ROH title that's just kind of hanging out there and people are like, ah, like how meaningful is this? You know, Claudio is great, but I kind of would rather have him be in AEW. Like there could, you know, that could also happen. So they have to be really smart about it. The other thing is, you know, I'm definitely for NXT meaning something to the overall main roster WWE, because if you it is a cool way to freshen people up or to, you know, give folks other things to do. And one of the things that we were so frustrated about with NXT is you'd see this great act and then they'd come up. And then what they did at NXT not only didn't count, but then their gimmick would change a little bit. Like Karrion Kross is probably the one that people remember most, where, you know, he comes up with the helmet gimmick and he loses his first match to Jeff Hardy.
Doesn't have Scarlett with him.
No, and the whole thing has just changed. So, you know, if Triple H is sort of true to what he believes was the way to do this, which is to develop the character in NXT, and then as they come up, they're already so good at that character, they kind of just go right in on the main roster. I'm all for that, because that's kind of what we've all been waiting for since NXT has been around. So that'll be cool.
And Triple H has, you know, he's the head of creative. You know, when Vince was in charge of head of creative, he had his little birds, you know, talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
And that guy's not that good. He's, look at that. That's not going to work. It's not going to work here. That works on that smaller and little thing that they do over there. But it's not going to work here, Vince. You know, people will get in his head, right?
Yeah.
And Vince will do his thing. Triple H just, Kevin Dunn and Bruce Pitcher are going to do that to him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he don't care. He's going to do it. And he believes in this talent. He believes in, he hired most of these guys and gals. So
how do you think the NXT UK wrestlers are going to be mixed in? It's not that I didn't like NXT UK. It's just as the seventh hour of wrestling or whatever.
Like, it's a lot.
It's just a lot. And it was hard for me to be like, okay, I'm going to be dedicated to this. Now, the wrestling was always pretty good. It was a little less sizzle for my personal taste in NXT UK. But how, I mean, are we talking only the creme de la creme of NXT UK is getting mixed in? Like, how are these? I guess my comparison would be, you know, the black and gold brand, which is coming back soon from what it looks like.
Yeah.
The indie talent who were sort of honed their skill in NXT and just became better workers, they were names, right? They were interesting names. And so there's a little bit of buzz around. They're like, oh, you know, now they're on NXT and these matches are really good. I don't sense that the NXT UK folks, outside of the ones that we're all very familiar with are going to be the buzzy kind of folks.
Mm-hmm.
But like from the perspective of like, are those folks going to get pushed as like top wrestlers? Or are they just there to put over the folks who are already there?
Oh no. I mean, they're going to be featured strongly. In my opinion, they're not as buzzy. They sign like, let's say Kevin Owens when he came in.
Yeah.
Right. That got people buzzing. Oh my God, they signed Kevin Owens here, and or Kevin Steen. Now he's coming to WWE. They're gonna add quality to the show. That was missing for the last year, you know. And they'll get over because they're talented. Like Gallus is extremely talented. Pretty Deadly's great. Ilya Dragunov is great. JD McDonagh, the former Jordan Devlin, he's really good. You know, Nathan Frazier's exciting. A-Kid is Axiom, and I mean, they're doing like best of three series, which the first match was tremendous, and I'm like, man, I can't wait to see the next two. If it's the next two, there might be, you know, might be two straight. I don't know. Has everything been announced? Who's all been signed from NXT UK? I don't know. I mean, wrote about it yet? Or
plug your ears if you don't want spoilers. But Ilya comes back next week.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I mean, that's all that I saw. It was pretty big.
I mean, I know the list of people, but like I didn't know what's been talked about. But there's a lot of great talent, and there's a lot, and they couldn't take everyone. Obviously, they have an hour show. You can't filter, you can't bring everyone over, right? There's no NXT UK right now until they start up NXT Europe. I think some people will probably be hired back for that, I assume. And then so they took the people that wanted to come, that could come. I'm sure there were some people that were offered, but for whatever reason, family, whatever, they couldn't come at the time. So, and I think they picked a lot of great talent. So, and some the women talent's really, really good. And I thought Ginny should have been signed. I don't know why she wasn't signed. I mean, I think she's what, Walter's girlfriend now, right? Or I believe. I'm surprised they haven't brought her back. Maybe they will. You know, I don't know what they're going
to
work out.
Or maybe she gets added to the main act.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she's tremendous. So, yeah, I think it's nothing but a positive, really. And we'll see how, I mean, the Malik Blades and the in Ophaz, you know, they might be used on television. Probably, I mean, maybe putting over people, I think, but they can get their workout stuff on the coconut loops and stuff like that, and instead of like being on national television to be exposed, now they can kind of you know, let them grow as talent, especially the green talent, like that, grow at a better pace than just throwing them out there and just kind of like looking silly.
The black and gold brand, what does that actually mean these days? Is it just a marketing thing? Is it just a new logo because the 2.0 logo had such a bad, bad reputation of what that wrestling was supposed to be? Because I'm going to name some folks here from the past, and these are folks who are still wrestling and they're still doing big stuff. But when they were brought in, they had a pretty big name when they were brought in. Pac, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, Finn Balor, Bailey, I said Samoa Joe, Nakamura, Bobby Roode, Gargano, Ciampa, even when Sanity came in, right? Eric Young was someone who we heard of. Roderick Strong, Adam Cole, Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly, Andrade. So you get where I'm coming from, which is there were folks, you'd watch a takeover, and then someone who you recognized was coming. And so there's created this interest. Those folks who had that buzz that I sort of mentioned earlier, I don't know how many folks there are that are out there. So does the black and gold brand not mean, you know, we're going to take an act that you may be familiar with and now they're going to be ours and now we're going to put them into our universe? I don't know who they could possibly still bring in that is meaningful, because most of those folks are now in AEW. Because I just kind of wonder, when you say black and gold to me, it's like, oh, like there's this style, there's this brand of wrestling that I'm going to get. It just seems like it's a little bit of a flourish on what they're doing now rather than a reinvention of the show.
Well, they had to change the name for sure. They had to take that 2.0 off it because it just makes it sound so secondary, right? But you're right. With the way the landscape is now, there was no AEW back then, right? So I don't think they'll do the big old, hey, look who's here. And
unless Keith Lee's in the audience. What is Keith Lee doing?
Unless there's someone that is like that, right? I don't think you do that, but if not, if I think there'll be more people now who are kind of skeptical to sign with WWE because all the horror stories they heard right from people with Vince in charge, we go to NXT, we'll never go up or whatever. But I think Triple H is going to change all that, and people will see, oh, there is a pipeline to the main roster, to more money. If I start with NXT, and well, we'll see if that has to happen though, right? That still needs to happen over the next, year, and so we'll see. I think so, and I think because this is Triple H's baby, is NXT.
Yeah,
I don't think he wants to. He couldn't do anything. He couldn't do much when the old man didn't want to push, Sanity or something like that, right? Yeah. When they got up, or he couldn't do anything about it. Revival, he can't do anything about that. It's just, is that his controls? Once they got caught up, is that in his hands? Now, it's in his hands. Now he has the control to push these people because he's, Vince should have known this, but Vince kind of went crazy. He went off on his own thing. But Triple H is a guy that understands, like, new talent adds freshness and to your show, and I think that's what he wants to use NXT for. Was going to add some freshness, like Johnny Gargano's adding some freshness to Monday Night Raw. So that's what I think it's going to be positive for everyone in wrestling. It's going to make both shows, both companies, a lot better.
So I don't remember if I've mentioned this on this show before. I've mentioned it somewhere, but in the NBA, there's two rounds of the draft, and so there's like 60 new players who are added into the league every year, which means there are 60 players who were previously in the league who now are not in the league anymore. So there's like constant turnover, and it's more than 60, but I'm just using the draft as the reason. If NXT is building, this great talent to move over to Raw, Triple H is also going to have to move some folks out. And I wonder if he is even, you know, if he has a plan for that, because it is an older roster, even if some of those folks don't really look old, because I think they're, a lot of these guys are in great shape. Like, you'd never believe that Damian Priest is as old as he is, right? Because he just looks so good.
AJ Styles too. He's, you know, he's older, but in his 40s, but he still looks good.
I don't know, not with that haircut. I'm just kidding.
I don't know, the wife said he always has great hair. So.
But that's the other piece of this that I wonder. It's like, for all the Bron Breakker and Carmelo Hayes, and then if Carmelo Hayes comes up, then Trick Daddy Williams is coming, and some of the women, like, there has to be also some letting go of talent. And that's the other piece of it for Triple H, is, as you know, as we've seen at AEW, like, having all those folks and just be so inconsistent with how often they're on TV doesn't really do any good for them. And so you got to have, like, a tight roster. And we've seen with the like, I imagine the, you know, Triple H hasn't been in charge when these cuts have happened. So maybe that falls on Stephanie. Maybe Stephanie and Nick Khan are the hatchet people here. But, you know, he hasn't had to go through that. But at the same time, you know, that they still want to have a tight roster. They don't want to have folks on that roster who they're paying for no reason. You know, that's part of them looking so good to Wall Street is being tight with that budget. So that's the other piece of this that I'm kind of looking at, because when you just keep everyone at NXT because everyone sucks, you don't ever have to move anybody up, and then you never have to cut anybody. But if NXT is moving and it is doing its job, you're going to have to move out some people, man. Like, you know, and some of those people could still go, and then you're making them available for AEW, and maybe that's not that bad of a thing. But it's just so interesting. The whole ecosystem is interesting to me, and I can't wait to see, you know, what Triple H's idea of what his eventual roster is going to be, you know, come this time or come next year's WrestleMania, right? So,
yeah,
really interesting.
Well, you know, they can do stuff like, they're going to be cuts made. That's just his business, right? The wrestling business.
Yeah.
You know, no one stays in one company forever. But, you know, like, say NXT Europe, you can send someone over there, right?
Big Dave, maybe don't cut him right away. He's not sure it's happening, man.
We'll see. They keep talking about NXT. They keep saying it.
No, he keeps saying, like, if this was going to happen, why didn't NXT UK just become NXT Europe? And why didn't they just move these people over? Because they're going to have to move. You know, that's his thought process on it. So,
yeah, I think the idea is, like, to start this new thing, they have to stop this thing to kind of, instead of just morphing it all right now, you know. I think their scenes are pretty behind it. They keep talking about it on NXT right now. They keep mentioning it. They mentioned on the main roster stuff. I've heard them say NXT Europe. So we'll see. You could send guys, like, you can send guys or gals there to work. Like Apollo Crews, like, went down to NXT to work, you know, to put on this. They'll have someone on the main roster, then you could kind of put them down to help spice up that show and have them work with some younger guys, you know. But eventually they're gonna have to cut certain people, you know, people see what's been there too long and they have really nothing to do for them now. And you know, some of the people that are maybe just not getting it in the PC, you know, those people will probably be cut. So we'll see. I mean, it's people are gonna get cut. It's wrestling, you know. It's wrestling. It sucks, and I don't want anyone to lose a job, but
yeah,
it just, gosh. I mean, what about the territory days? You know, like, you can get your, you know, okay, finish up. You know, it's not working out. You only been here 3 weeks. Finish up. You know.
Yeah.
I know people just want to hate on WWE for releasing people, and yeah, it was crazy, but it's gonna happen. It happens almost every year. I don't think it'd be as mass though. Yeah, I don't think it's gonna be that as mass as what it was.
Well, yeah, I mean, because they're pretty tight right now, right? They don't have a lot of a wasteful guys on their roster, so
yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about this Dynamite. I was going into this show, and this has just been my mentality, which is, because we are so close to this and we know all the drama that's happening and has happened and the frustrations and all of that stuff, I thought, you know, I'm a little fatigued about the AEW just you know, everything that we hear about it is sort of negative and based off of the scrum and, you know, these suspensions and, you know, and so going into this show, I was like, man, you know, I think they really need to have an excellent, excellent show because they kind of need the positive feedback. And, you know, a lot of the feedback right now has just kind of been negative. So I was not super pumped going into this show. And I'm not sure if I was super pumped coming out of this show either. Mm-hmm. But that is not to say that I didn't like the show, because I did like a lot of what happened. I didn't like everything. Like, there's a lot of stuff that happened in the first hour that I was just like, man, this is the stuff that I don't like that they do. But there was also stuff that was really interesting that I'm kind of excited about. And I'm very interested to see where they go with. But there's, like, the buzz. I thought once All Out happens, we're kind of removed from a lot of those injuries that were happening, and they can kind of move on. And here's all the stuff that Tony was going to do before all those injuries happened. And man, that stuff had to get put on hold. And so it just doesn't, the product just doesn't feel hot right now. And no. I don't think coming out of this show and heading into Grand Slam, which should be a really big show for them, the momentum is not there heading into that show.
Yeah, you know, I was looking forward to this show. I thought, you know what, this might be a really good show. You know, if Mox and Guevara can kind of connect, I think it'd be good. Danielson and Jericho, you know, should be good. We'll see what happens here. I was kind of looking forward to it. And I was disappointed. Maybe I had too much high expectations, but I just felt like this show was there. It was missing something, right? I just thought I was missing something. And a lot of things happened on this show where just kind of like scratch your head. But let's talk about it. Let's go through each match and segment, and we can talk about what I liked, what I didn't like, and same. I want to hear your opinion on a lot of these segments too as well.
Okay, so let's talk about the opener. I'll say this right now: after this match was over, I will echo what you thought last week, which is Darby needed to be the guy in this match, not Sammy Guevara. That was my first thought after this match was over, because nobody in that building thought Sammy was going to win, for one. So that's mm-hmm. sort of a negative already. And then because of that, they had Tay and Anna Jay come in so she could kick Mox low. And even at that point, nobody thought that Sammy was actually going to win this match.
Oh, well, they did buy that. They did kind of buy that false finish. At least they reacted big to it when Mox kicked out.
But AEW never, like, that's just not that. That's always a false finish for them.
Oh, right? I know. They ruin everything. You know?
It's never going to happen where that's going to be the resolution of this match. So mm-hmm. I didn't buy it. I was just like, huh. And I think the problem with Sammy Guevara's character right now, I mean, I still really like the guy as far as what he has in the future and what he can become. But when your biggest heel is an angrier chicken shit, but also the best talker in the company, Sammy just comes off as like the secondary chicken shit heel when you have Max there. And he's part of the program, but, you know, he's not that big of a deal coming off of when he won the TNT title and he had the Cody thing. Like, when he was doing the Cody stuff, it's like, oh, this guy's kind of, he may be going somewhere. And then after that, now he's back with the Jericho guys. It just seems like, yeah, he was up a little bit, and now he's kind of back where he was. And I feel the same way about Jungle Boy. We'll have that discussion when we get to his match. But, you know, John Muse and I were talking about this, and we were just saying how, you know, a lot of the folks with promise, like a Jungle Boy, a Sammy, a Dante Martin, a Darby, like, the idea was like, oh, these are some pillars, right? MJF was one, but MJF just kind of catapulted over everybody at some point.
Yeah.
But the idea was like, oh, you know, they're young, they're going to get exposure. Once the crowds come back, we're really going to run with these guys. And there have been moments, like Sammy's had some really great moments, but ultimately, he's not in that mix yet. And I thought he was a pretty weak contender for this tournament. And that's why, you know, I think the crowd would have reacted way better to Darby, even though Darby was not going to win this match. But some of the stuff that he does, it is a little bit more, I don't want to say believable, because it's not about believability to me. He's just a more aggressive wrestler. He's a more ferocious wrestler. And the only time that, you know, the crowd really was like, oh, this is the Sammy we love, was when he did the, what's the move? The Spanish Fly. And but otherwise, he was just kind of being like a dopey heel during the, you know, during the pitcher-in-pitcher, and the match was not that impressive to me. So I don't know. I may be a little bit hard on this match just because I'm like, man, you know, we got Jericho and Danielson on the other side, and we got Moxley and Sammy on this side.
Yeah, well, I gotta say, I didn't like this match either. I thought this was not a good match at all. They had zero chemistry together. Guevara's definitely taking a few steps backwards. His work as a heel's not that good. But I also thought the match was weird. Like, they go into the break with Sammy just pummeling Moxie's head in the ring steps, right? And then during the commercial break, they had picture-in-picture. So I was, at this point in time, I was kind of watching in real time. So I watched the picture-in-picture. And then there's Sammy, he's, you know, throwing Mox into the table and jumping on him and pounding on him. But then Mox just makes a comeback and throws him on the table. And like, so there's like no like chance. Like, Sammy got all his heat was blown there. And I was like, why? Why would you do that? You know? And they get back in the ring and, you know, Mox is beating the tar out of Sammy, and then Sammy just pulls out a Spanish Fly. It just looks so stupid. Standing Spanish Fly. The stuff with Tay and Anna Jake coming out to distract the ref. And I would have had Tay out there the whole time with Sammy. And during the heat, let her get involved. You know, let draw the referee away so she can smack Mox. You know, it's not going to do anything big to him, but it's still just a heat getting thing, right? And then when Anna Jay comes back out to maybe distract the ref, maybe Ty tries to jump in to kick, do the ball shot. This time, Mox just smarting her, stops it, kind of whips her into Anna. They bump. As that happens, you know, maybe Guevara comes behind and gets the go to hell. But then I love that finish, you know, the go to hell reversal into the double RDT. I thought that was sweet. They could have done that. I think that one point, too, like the match just felt really long and started dragging, especially right after that stuff with Anna Jay and Tay Conti or Tay Mello, whatever the hell her name is now. I don't know. It just didn't work for me at all.
The picture in picture when I'm watching live just absolutely destroys my soul.
Why is that? Because it's kind of small and you can't see it, or no sound, or.
I think it's more the sound thing than anything else.
Yeah.
Because when there's no sound, you just feel like it's in the background and you don't need to pay attention. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I know there's no way to get around it, but I would actually rather them just do a commercial and come back and then here's what you missed.
Yeah.
And I know the reason why they do it, because I think the theory is that they lose less people when they do this. So I get it. But yeah, for me, it's just I wish I could always be about a half an hour behind so I could fast forward through stuff. But at the same time, like, it, you know, this show cannot take the whole day for me. Like, I have stuff to do. I try and watch live and then, you know, have my notes and everything and just get out of there. But man, it could be a long watch sometimes when you're watching live. All right. So the thing that I did love was Mox's intensity at the end. Once he hits the finisher, he was pretty fired up there at the end. He was saying, you know, this is his company or whatever, as they were going to commercial. And then as they go into commercial, they're like, oh, you know, MJF is going crazy in the back, or he needs a mic or whatever. So I'm just thinking, like, what is he so mad about? Like, what could he possibly be so angry about that just because the show started and all we saw was Mox winning. So
yeah,
he comes out. And he says the thing that made him upset was that when they were standing toe-to-toe last week, John Moxley had no fear. And I'm thinking, like, every time I've seen John Moxley in this ring, he does the same thing. He stands in front and he wants to fight. Like, that was no different than anything. So I didn't connect with that line. Like, he had no fear of MJF. MJF is a heel. The babyfaces don't really fear MJF in general. We saw Wardlow just laugh at this dude for weeks and weeks and weeks. So that line didn't connect with me. So he said, it's a sign of disrespect for this new version of MJF. And he's not playing a character, but John is. John's the same scared poor little boy from the slums of Cincinnati, and now he can drown his childhood sorrow in alcohol like a worthless drunk. And he timed this one pretty good because he did the old Nature Boy, shut up, fat boy. But I think he didn't say shut up. He said something else. Or sit down, fat boy, or something like that. And then he said, but he did give John credit for defeating his disease. But he says that his brain, MJF's brain, is more dangerous than John's disease. And he said, bad things happen when people get in MJF's way. Take a vacation, Mox, which is a line for more for the inside crowd, because Moxley did say that he was supposed to take some time off before coming back because they needed him. And then he said, skip Arthur Ashe because it is my title. And I'm listening to this guy just go off. And I'm like, Mox is not coming out. Like, he's just hanging out in the back because last week, right? Like,
yeah.
What happened last week? So I'm like, okay, so Mox is supposed to come out. Nope, didn't come out. So MJF just says he's the demon that Mox talked about when he came back from rehab. And then just introduces Stokely Hathaway as his best friend.
Yeah.
And Stokely Hathaway's new group called The Firm. And that is not based on the Tom Cruise movie, folks. It is based, I'm assuming, it's probably based on the name The Firm probably comes from the hip-hop group featuring Nas and AZ and Foxy Brown and Cormega and Nature, I believe. One of them had gotten kicked out and the other one replaced them, something like that. But it was like a flop. The album that they put together was a big flop. So it's kind of like The Firm is more of a hip-hop punchline than it is anything else. I mean, I'm sure that's where Stokely got it from. So Stokely introduces. Actually, before I get to that, what did you think of MJF's promo?
It was good. I was wondering where it was going. Like, after a while, someone's gonna come out. I thought Moxie was coming out.
Yeah, to do completely
some kind of business, or at least confront him, or then have a back and forth, maybe some security guards get between him, or something. You know, just something. But yeah, then he just calls out his faction for hire, he said.
Yeah, on retainer.
And then he just leaves. A retainer, yeah.
Stable on retainer is what he called it.
Yeah, yeah. And he just leaves.
Yeah, and I was like, okay. Like,
yeah.
So this group was much more menacing at All Out when they were wearing the masks and they came out as like the hired guns.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, if we're going to keep that momentum, I think they had to be on last week's show, because when Max came out last week and these guys were not with him, we all just thought, oh, they're not important. So thus they're not with MJF. So bringing them in this week, they had no momentum at all.
Yeah.
I thought that was a big miss. So Stokely tried really hard to get these guys over. Morrissey, a.k.a. he called him Big Bill, told him he loved him a couple different times, but Morrissey just kind of deadpanned at the camera. Lee Moriarty mentioned that he's going to go for the pure title. So now...
And no reaction.
But now, like, by saying what title he's going after, you've put a ceiling on this group already.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The guns are not boys but men, and Ethan Page, his main man, who wants to win the All-Atlantic Championship for his home country of Canada.
Ugh.
So again, we've limited sort of how big this group can be. They're a five-man stable. I don't remember him saying that the guns had their eye on the tag straps. Morrissey didn't mention, you know, he wants the world title. None of that. It was the pure title and the All-Atlantic Championship. You know, I thought it was a good attempt. I like the introduction, but ultimately I felt the same about them as I did last week when they weren't on TV, which is, maybe they're not that important.
My mind just started wandering during this whole set because it went forever. And Stokely talks well, but I don't know if I believe him. I don't know if I believe him as a manager. I know he's not a manager, whatever he said, but and then like he gets cute with his monster, and it just made the monster look goofy, you know, getting a little cute with him. And then yeah, you're right. Like, oh, he's gonna win the ROH pure title. Like, and this audience was like, who cares? Right? You talk about the guns and getting with her dad. And then he talked about Ethan Page. In the All Atlantic title that no one cares about, everyone still makes fun every time someone just can't barely even say the name of it because it just makes fun of it. And then, yeah, you're right. There's going to be a mid card group, and that's it. And then just like the Butcher and the Blade,
yeah.
When MJF needs some hired help, that's when they come in, and that's it. You know, so they should be like, shouldn't they be like wanting the Blackpool Combat Club? Right? Shouldn't they want those guys? Should they want championships? Shouldn't the Gun Club want the tag team titles? Shouldn't Moriarty?
You know, a very interesting thing with the Gun Club is that their own dad chose the hot team.
Yeah, he's smart.
Right? Like their own pops was like, my you know, even though they were the ones who turned on him, but he just then went to the hot team, and that hot team is going to get a tag title match, and they had the hottest match at the pay-per-view as far as the crowd response.
Yeah.
And so it just looks like, we kicked dad out, but that doesn't mean anything because now he's better than ever. And so they look like goofballs.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm sure the Gun Club will be challenging for the tag titles if Acclaim wins, which we all believe they will. Next week, I would hope so. But, you know, let's get some Gun Club, some wins on television. You know, let's get them, let's establish them and get them over and get them ready for the Acclaim when it's time for them when they become champions, if that's what's going to happen next week.
The tagline for this group is run with us or run from us. And one thing I really liked was their music when they came out. My ears through the TV, obviously, you know, it's not like I had the song in my headphones. It sounds like it sounds heavily influenced by an old Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre song called Deep Cover. And it may even have a similar sample, which is what I may have heard. But I think the song is really good. So great theme song for The Firm. But I don't know. Not the best first impression, I don't think. Or second impression, I guess.
We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I'm open-minded because I'm entertained by Stokely. And we've talked about Ethan Page, you know, having something but then never having the booking to back up that something.
Yeah.
And we'll see. Like you said, we'll see with everybody else. So Jungle Boy did an interview where he said he has signed an open contract so anybody can face him, and it turns out that person is Jay Lethal. And so they have a match. I think the idea behind this is because Jungle Boy's got tape on his back selling the beating from Christian.
Mm.
But I think the other thing that we are supposed to think is that this is the aggressive Jungle Boy. Like, he is not here to play games anymore. He is here to fight. And Lethal kind of gets up in his grill, and Jungle Boy does this two-hand shove. And I was like, this is not the aggressive Jungle Boy that we need here. It was the lightest two-hand shove that you would ever see in a wrestling match. Yeah. Like, Lethal didn't even bump for it. He's just like, what? So, you know, the match, they're two really good athletes. Lethal dominates the majority of the match. Jungle Boy wins with the snare trap. You know, Jay Lethal, the most underutilized, really good wrestler on the roster. But he has a role right now, and this is part of the role. I don't know. I just didn't think, you know, Jungle Boy should have came out of this match with flying colors, and it just seems like the same old to me.
It was fine. I thought the match was fine. I thought it was interesting. They showed, like, 3 weeks ago, Jay Lethal beat Dash Harwood.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, didn't Dash Harwood get an ROH title shot last Friday?
Yeah.
Why isn't Jay Lethal getting that title shot? And then Sonny Dutt is like the worst manager in wrestling right now. He just plays fake wrestling manager. It's not even like it's like turn off TV. Like, you know, if there was like competition like the same night, I would probably just change it over and just be like,
but that's also why they don't let them do it for a long time, right? Like, he had like 15 seconds to get his promo in. It was like the fastest talking guy you ever heard, because they know.
Why don't they just put Satnam in some squash matches to build up to at least Warlow beating them? Just, okay. You know, not much you can do with Satnam other than that at this point, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know. The match is fine. Whatever. It was fine.
If this was, I'm assuming this was built to sort of show this new side of Jungle Boy. He needs to come back from whatever it was at All Out. And it was a good attempt, but he just didn't show it for me. Like, from what I thought this match was built for, he didn't show it.
Yeah.
We had Action Bronson and Hook, a little video package, and Hook, I don't know, Hook may have said one or two words in this thing, and they're setting up the match. I guess they're going Friday, so it's Action Bronson and Hook against 2.0.
That's smart, because it's taped.
No, yeah, it's taped. Okay, yeah. Here's a question. 2.0. Are they going to keep the 2.0 name? Because the whole name was just a joke on NXT.
Yeah. Now they're going to become the black and the gold.
Yeah, black and gold. I think they got to change their name.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see what happens. This is going to be, this is when Hook and Bronson win. That this is that's the last time we're seeing 2.0. They're going to come back as Ever-Rise.
Yeah, they should. Okay.
Rise again.
Now this is a cute Tony Khan thing here, this next segment.
God.
Alex Marvez with Luigi Primo, who was spinning a pizza on his hand. And I guess this guy's a wrestler, and in his match, he flips the pizza dough?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen this before?
I've seen the clip on Twitter. Of course, he's going to show up in AEW. Yeah. That.
Thankfully, Ethan Page kicks him in the face and he goes down. I actually wanted him to kick him in the face, and I wanted him to, like, I don't know, pour pizza sauce on his or something, because I was just like, this is not what I needed on this show after I was so frustrated with. I wasn't really frustrated, but I just wanted to see more out of Jungle Boy. Like, this was kind of a miss, and then we get comedy, and then I'm like, okay, finally we get this guy off, and then nope, we get more comedy, because then after Ethan Page kicks this dude, then we get Danhausen. And at this point, I was like, no, thank you. Like, yeah. I get it. Like, this is a variety show, but man, you know, this doesn't have to be all serious, but it does have to be serious enough to where I'm like, you know, I'm not offended by watching this.
I mean, you're trying to get over this new group, the Firm. You're trying to get over these guys as serious players. And now they're still messing around with the Geek Squad.
Yeah.
Right? You're just bringing Ethan Page down. This is stupid.
The other thing, and this is also what I was talking to John Muse about, he actually brought it up. And he says one of his major frustrations with AEW right now is that from Wednesday to Friday, you have like the shortest build to a match, and then on Friday you have the match. Match is over, angle over. So it's like a 3 day thing, and then you just move on.
Yeah, Tony Khan doesn't feels like you have to like do something to like shoot something quick little interaction or attack just to build up a match on Friday. Just announce it. Announce these damn matches. You know, it's, you know, have a promo from the maybe the main event people, you know, or something. It's, I mean, that I thought we're supposed to get serious about Rampage.
Well, they're doing live ones in October. So
we'll see if they load those up with their.
Well, the other thing is, not only do you have to put on a good TV show for the TV viewing audience, but you got to sell some tickets too. So you can't.
Yeah.
You know, you can't sandbag those shows.
No, I don't think so. I think you'll see the Danielsons, the Moxleys, et cetera, on those shows as well.
All right, Matt Hardy challenges Darby on Rampage.
This came out of nowhere.
And then he mentioned his brother Jeff. I don't know what that means.
Did he? I just tuned Matt Hardy out. And I'm like, why? All the people that they got to bring back. Maybe Jeff's ready to come back. I don't know.
Yeah,
they're going to do something there.
All right. So the one squash match on this show was Powerhouse Hobbs. He faced a young man by the name of Matt DiMartino. Have you ever seen Matt DiMartino before?
I don't know. He might be one of the guys that the Bucks hired for Target. So he looked. He just looked like a guy that just rings me up at Target. Thanks, yeah. Matt DiMartino. Have a good day. Yeah, you know, quick match.
Hobbs. Yeah, like 20 seconds.
DiMartino got a shot in. No, not really. I think Hobbs got himself.
Yeah, did he like bite his lip on the spine buster or something?
I think it was the. It was the short little Vader splash in the corner. I think they might have hit, you know, Hobbs didn't really turn his head as all the way over. So it connected.
So he wins. He then grabs the mic and he's mentioning Ricky Starks, and Stark is power walking from
NWO Starks.
Yeah. He's coming out through the crowd, walking down the aisle, and the security guards are like right there. They're waiting for this guy. They're like, this guy's not getting in the ring. I'm going to grab this guy. But they wait for him to hop the rail.
Yep.
And all he does is when you play football at school, when you're like, you know, 10 years old, and you do the one move for the fake out, and you can always score a touchdown with it. He just drops a stanky leg on one of these security guards. The guy gets faked out of his shoes and he jumps into the ring and he goes after Hobbs. Now, the security guards, I wonder if it was in like the security guard rule book, is like, if you guys do not grab this guy before he gets in the ring, you can't get him. You just leave him because he beat you. He faked you out and he made it to the ring and you guys have to stop.
They can't get in. They don't know how to get through the ropes.
I thought Stark showed some fire, but I don't know. I didn't want to see the pose. Like, I wanted to see him mad. I wanted to see him screaming at this dude, not strike a pose and do the people's eyebrow after what we saw at All Out. Like, I wanted to see a different aggression from him.
I didn't want to see them blow what they're doing Hobbs right now. Like, let him get over. Let him cut the promo that he destroyed Starks, you know, and he's on the bigger and better things. I still think they should have done something. You know, they could have, you know, Hobbs win. Hobbs continued to say he retired Ricky Starks. He announced to be like, well, I know he's hurt, but we haven't talked about retirement about Ricky Starks. What's Hobbs saying? And then maybe they need to do like a vignette, not like sit down with Jim Ross or Tony Giovanni. Almost like a 20, you know, UFC 24/7, whatever, you know, boxing 24/7 kind of like video of like showing Starks at the hospital, showing Starks going to the MRI, talking to the doctor about his neck again, was re-injured in that match.
Yeah.
And he is done. And that's it. And then Hobbs can continue to win these matches and continue to
You know why they're not going to do that?
What?
Because their whole storyline for their main event at All Out was that whole thing, which turns into CM Punk getting hurt again. So
I'm saying, like, you know, so for weeks after that, you have Hobbs. I'm the guy that retired Ricky Starks. And now, as Hobbs is getting momentum, he's calling out Wardlow. I'm going to retire you like I did him. And then during that big title match, who shows up to spoil Hobbs' day? Ricky Starks gets revenge. Wardlow wins. You know, like I think that would be kind of cool. But to him coming back now and blowing off Hobbs's steam now, I didn't like that. I didn't like that at all. I thought, cool, win a promo from Hobbs. Okay, let's get this guy over and just being a guy with big muscles that stood behind Ricky Starks, right? Mm-hmm. People want to cheer him. People want to see him featured, not cheer him. They want to see him featured as a player, right? Everyone talks about Hobbs' potential. It's and when you do this, it's like you're kind of like you're cutting his legs off before he can start running.
All right, so I thought the show picked up after this. We had a Death Triangle video package, which leads to the Lucha Bros, who are part of the Trios Champs, against Swerve in Our mm-hmm. Glory. Now, this was an odd matchup because, as we know, next week they have the title match with the Acclaimed. And then when I thought about it, I was like, oh, okay. The Lucha Brothers have some equity with this fan base. They're former tag team champions. They've had crazy matches with the Bucks. So they are seen as the real deal. And Swerve and Our Glory, you know, they haven't had too many big wins as champs. They haven't beat those like vet champ tag team champions. So I thought this was I guess you can't do it without FTR because FTR has all the other belts. But if you're looking for a team to have them beat so that they put their sort of stamp on the fact that they are tag team champions, this was the best that you could probably get. You know, the Lucha Brothers still had to do all the stuff that they did in the match. Mm-hmm. You know, what was it? What did they do on Keith Lee?
A lot of stupid shit.
What was the... Canadian Destroyer on Keith Lee or something like that.
And then Keith Lee just beats him right after that.
Yeah, then he beats him.
This match sucked, in my opinion. Rick, they're starting so quickly. They're running short on time because they started a match and then like quickly went to the break. You have to go back and watch poor old Rick Knox. Nervous, shaking, gets the belt from Keith Lee and sort of holds it up real quick and shakes and hurry up, throws the belts out to just, you know, start the match because they're shit short on time. It just looks so funny. But then the match was ridiculous. Like, first, like, okay, you know, first of all, Swerve and Phoenix, they do their dance routine. And then Lee tags in. He does a big chop to Phoenix. They go to break. But again, I'm watching live, so I continue to watch the picture-in-picture. I don't know if you watched the picture-in-picture of this part. You think, like, Lee would be a game-changer, right, when he comes in? No. The Lucha Brothers are taking over on Lee. And at one point, Phoenix is manhandling Lee. Like, Lee's trying to go to the tag. Phoenix wastes losses and turns it around and pushes him to this, like, over. I'm like, what is going on? This match proved to me Keith Lee really needs people like Sean Hunter, Matt Bloom to really put him on the right path to have it. Cause he looked like something really special in NXT. And I haven't seen that here yet in AEW with him. We've seen maybe flashes in that first match his debut match. We saw that. We saw, oh wow. This is what WWE missed the boat on when he went to the main roster.
Yeah, and I would definitely say NXT Keith Lee is better than AEW Keith Lee. Yeah. But AEW Keith Lee is better than WWE Keith Lee because they didn't let him do anything. So we get the middle version of him here.
Yeah, and it's just, I don't know. This match is... I don't mind them booking the match. I don't mind the Lucha Brothers being in it. It's because they have a lot of teams. They don't have a lot of depth. You know, no one's ready for that. You know, and yeah, you don't put FTR in there. You don't want to do that to have them lose here. And who else did? The Bucks aren't there right now.
I mean, that's it. If a team what was actually wrestling, this would be a spot for Daniels and Kazarian, right?
Mm-hmm.
But those guys, you know, I think Daniels was, maybe he was unsuspended, but I don't know where Kazarian is or whatever. But that's the kind of team that would be. I mean, you don't want to put the best friends because the best friends are just the comedy team, and then this win means nothing. You're just beating goofballs.
What about that hot six-man group they had, that the Trust Busters?
Oh, God.
What happened to those guys? They're only there for like a couple weeks to do the tournament, and they're gone. They're gone. Not gone. They're just on Dark and Elevation.
All right, so the Acclaimed comes out after this, and Max cuts his own music off. He doesn't actually do the rap, and he does a promo. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he said to Strickland, you know, if you ever cut my music again, I'm going to X, Y, and Z. And then he said something about that Strickland is just someone who likes to hang out with.
Nut hanging.
Yeah. and so then they had the new Scissor Me Daddy shirts, which were in like,
Bullet Club style.
Yeah, but like Heart Foundation colors or something.
Oh, yeah, the pink, black, that's their colors, yeah.
And you know what I realized when I was watching this? You know, we talked about the Scissor Me Daddy thing as kind of like the new crotch chop,
mm-hmm.
the new suck it. And it's actually, you know what it actually is? It is the new version of the Mega Powers handshake because of the way that they go in. And I was like, I bet you that's the influence is actually the Mega Powers handshake, the way that they do it, which I was like, huh, was the Mega Powers handshake that goofy when I did it? Probably. Like,
it wasn't
you do
goofy.
With your friends?
It wasn't goofy.
You don't think it was goofy? Like, where you're like holding your own wrist when you're coming
we're like,
the
yeah, brother. Yeah. Not when we were kids, it wasn't goofy, but now that's a 4-year old. We were kind of goofy.
Like, I went to see Clerks 3 with my buddy Edson and Randy. Yeah, if we would have done the Mega Powers handshake then when we hadn't seen them in a while, that would have been really goofy. All right, so Alex Marvez. Well, go ahead.
Because I really did like this promo. I like that he, you know, Max could rap, but it's nice to do a serious promo to get into the title match. I like that part.
Mm-hmm. So then back in the back, Alex Marvez, he's about to talk, like, Pac kind of, like, looks at him, and he's just like, and then all of a sudden, he comes to the microphone, and of all people, Orange Cassidy just sucker punches him and leaves him laying.
Yeah, throws the fakest punch on TV, right close, right in the camera. Boom. I was like, ugh.
Yeah, and I guess, let's see, I'm trying to think of, like, why is he mad at this dude?
Well, because Pac called him not a real wrestler or something like that.
Oh, from the...
A couple weeks ago. From that 0 hour when they had that really boring match with Kip Sabian. Yeah.
All right. So then we got an Athena and Tony Storm interview. I think Tony's got a little bit more of an edge to her. And I wonder if it came from when she kind of shot on Thunder Rosa at the scrum. When she told, you know, so-called injury and was doing all that. I don't know. She felt a little more interesting, a little more important. There was a little more edge to her. And so then they did the match. It was Serena Deeb and Britt Baker versus Athena and Tony. Great to see Serena Deeb in these matches. Much more of a believable match when she's wrestling. But I was like, I love seeing Serena in this match. But Jamie Hayter was the one who everyone was cheering for at the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And what we saw last week of Jamie Hayter was that she got her feelings hurt and she was crying and had to leave. And so I'm like, okay, like that can't be like this lasting memory that we see of her because she won't accept Britt's apology.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, man, you know, I really want to see her again. I want to see how the crowd reacts to her. So as this match is happening, I'm like thinking like, oh, we're not going to get her. Oh, well, maybe next week. But so they're doing the match. Rebel distracts the ref so that Britt can pull out a chair. And Serena Deeb runs Tony Storm's face right into the chair.
Oh, God.
And Serena Deeb gets the pin.
Mm-hmm.
And then Athena... jumps the heels, camera person misses it, and immediately she then starts getting beat up. And I was like, oh man.
This started falling apart quickly.
And just as I thought, you know, oh, this is kind of bad the way this ended, then Hayter came back and I was like, okay, like that's who I wanted to see. That's who was the person who was really interesting in this whole thing. But she stays with her heel side, her heel team, but then she's still not accepting Britt's apology. Yeah. So I don't know.
I think she was showing Britt that, see, I'm the one that's always protecting you.
Right. Yeah. You know? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I liked that part of it. I didn't like how the match ended. I didn't like how Athena looked like a goofball. But overall, I like seeing Jamie Hayter in there, and I'm glad that whatever is happening is getting advanced here. And then I was like, okay, so now she's back in the mix. But who's in the four-way at the next show? Not Jamie Hayter. It is Serena versus Britt versus Athena versus Tony in a fatal four-way match for the interim title, which, I don't know, if I'm Tony Storm, I'm kind of mad. And if I'm Serena Deeb, I'm kind of mad. Yeah. Like,
why did we set
it up like that?
I thought, okay, cool. The best part of this match was the first exchange between Tony Storm and Serena Deeb. Like, it looked like two competent women out there, you know, than what normal AEW matches look like. And I was like, okay, I really want to see these two girls go at it. And I thought from the booking of Deeb getting the win on Tony, that was where I get next. And now it's a four-way. I mean, you already have enough. You have a world title match happening. You have the tag team title match happening. I know you're trying to make this thing a big deal, but you know what? It's okay to let, you know, Tony shine with someone she can shine with, Serena Deeb, and have a really good match. But I think the four-way is going to be a cluster, and it's not going to play to – that's not going to be as good of a match as Tony and Serena together. And so, can someone tell Athena those wings don't look good at all? It looks like a kid's science project, you know, like those old little – I don't know. It just looked bad. I'm like, why do you have that? You know, I was trying to stand out, but it's not that impressive. You know,
I would have just split that four-way into Serena against Tony, and then on Friday, Britt against Athena in number one contenders match. Like,
there you go.
I think it would be way better. I don't know if the Britt and Athena match would be all that good, but I just think it's more interesting, and then you get Jamie Hayter in the mix mm-hmm. again. Like, that's more interesting to me than the four-way.
Yeah.
All right, so for Rampage, we have Samoa Joe against Josh Woods. We have Ethan Page against Danhausen.
Real quick, though, did you see the video they showed of the Josh Woods build up to versus Samoa Joe? It was all the build up to Wardlow.
Yeah.
And for some reason, he's wrestling Samoa Joe? I didn't watch Rampage last week, so I don't know what happened there.
Yeah, I didn't watch it either, so something may have happened. Penelope against Willow Nightingale. I saw Penelope got a win on, was it Dark? I saw the Twitter clip. I didn't actually watch Dark, but I think she got some sort of win with her submission. And you know, Willow's cool. She's a young, I guess, I don't even know if she's young, but she's someone who has not been overexposed, who mm-hmm. is a fun baby face.
I like Willow.
And then we get Darby and Matt Hardy. So that is Rampage. And so next week on Dynamite for the Grand Slam show, Mox versus either Jericho and Danielson, who turned out to be Danielson. So Mox and Danielson mm-hmm. in the main event of that show. Swerve in Our Glory versus the Acclaimed. Who knows? Maybe that's actually in the main event segment because they keep liking to flip-flop that 9 o'clock hour.
They might try to get that...
The
audience
nuts.
Really again. Yeah.
Though there is a risk because that audience will have been out there for a little while as well. So maybe it is better to do it earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get Tony Storm, Serena Deeb, Athena, and Britt in that four-way. And we get Pac versus Orange Cassidy. And then on the only thing announced on the Rampage show, at least I think, is Hook and Action Bronson versus 2.0. All right, we get our main event. Really good match. Before I even talk about it, what match did you like better, this one or the pay-per-view match?
This match.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
I think it connected with the fans a little bit more. Okay.
And plus, I think that the crowd's not just burnt out of the movie. I think they saw way before it, you know, with the trios match and all that stuff, you know. This okay. match, what, plus, what they had earlier wasn't that great. So,
what did you think about the selling? Because to me, what we know of selling a body part in AEW is to limp around, and then when you hit your big move, you get this endorphin rush, and you hit your big move, and then you go back to selling your mm-hmm. your thing. I feel like Danielson was like, "No, this is really how you're supposed to sell."
Yeah.
Like an education, like it was an educational wrestling match here, because this guy goes over the top rope, lands on both feet. Now, I know Excalibur was trying to tell us that his ankle shook back and forth. He just landed on both feet, which is fine, because that is it, that you could hurt yourself doing that too, going over the top, landing on the mats. So he hurts his foot, and Jericho gets this look in his eyes, like, this is the way. Like, this is what I'm going to go after. This is how I'm going to win this match. Takes off Danielson's wrestling shoe and starts banging his foot on the outside. So wraps the leg around the ring post. And Danielson's one comeback is that he hops into his knee. And Jericho's like, come on, bro. Grabs him, puts him in the walls. And then he gets into like a heel lock or heel hook of sorts. Then he goes into the figure four. And then Danielson reverses the figure four and into the LaBelle lock, and Jericho has to tap out.
Yeah.
So Danielson's just selling that foot. He can't walk because he was hopping, and yet he still pulls it out to win the match. Now, for next week, this is interesting again, right? Because the Moxley and Punk match was all about Punk's foot and whether or not he could wrestle. Like, Moxley just whips his ass in 4 minutes, and then they come back to the pay-per-view and Punk is able to wrestle injured. So I kind of wonder, why do you think they went back to the foot here for this Danielson match heading into Grand Slam?
Well, maybe it's going to play into the finish next week. They decided just to... Maybe Danielson wanted to sell the foot. I don't know. Like, but they decided that's the body part they were going to tell that story around. But yeah, I'm guessing, I would hope that he's going to still be favoring that ankle going into, going into that match at Moxley. Is it a shot at Punk?
I don't know.
I don't think so. Right?
I mean, they like, I'm assuming Danielson and Punk are
I don't think there's
fine with each other.
A shot with it. Maybe there's some kind of finish, maybe. I don't know. We'll see what happens. I love the spot. But poor ref Odd, what's her name? Ref Aubrey, she blew it though. There was no doubt in my mind that it was just a work. One, I saw how he landed, but you know, you never know what anyone could do, right?
Like, yeah.
Even if you land perfectly, something can happen. And he sold it really well once he landed. But right away, I knew it was a work because the way she reacted, she jumped out. She jumped out to check on him, but it wasn't as, like, she wasn't as, like, it wasn't a sense of urgency to check on him. She just kind of went through the motions with it. And, that's a big difference with, like, just like AEW referees, like, they're the worst. Like, that you see that clip, now it's going around because Dutch Mantel's been just sharing AEW clips of botches and talking trash about it,
yeah.
You know, but there's that one with Ruby Riott getting hurt, right?
Yeah.
And if you go back and watch that, and Rick Knox is the referee, she clearly lands on top of her head. He just goes over away from her instead of getting down there and checking, you know. And one of the things that's cool about WWE referees are good about WWE. They're really on everything. Like, even that the cage match this week with the Creed brothers and Pretty Deadly, they did some crazy shit in that match, right? And some big bumps. And the referee's right there, like right in their face. You can tell, are you good? You know, like they're like, it's as urgent as if it was, you know, it's could be real. I have to go down there and check, right? It's just, here goes Rick Knox just walking away. Ruby Riott could have her, or whatever her name is, Ruby Soho, could have her name or neck broken, mm-hmm. and you're just, you know, peddling off. So,
well, there was another thing that I noticed with Aubrey in the women's match. I think it was the women's match. It may have not been. It was another match where there was a spot where there was some sort of someone came on the apron. I don't even remember what match it was, but someone came on the apron, and the way Aubrey reacted was she's just like, "Okay, you're supposed to distract me for a little bit, and then you're gonna get off, and then this is just mm-hmm. a move." Like that's kind of how her refereeing was. Like instead of like being in that person's face and yeah. telling them, "Get down," you know, "What are you doing here?" She just kind of went through the motions, and I just thought like. Yeah, I get it because they do this in every match when there's a heel group. Like, it's just every single time, and it really doesn't mean anything.
Maybe, like, she did it because she's getting a lot of heat online. I
think it was Sanjay. When Sanjay jumped up or something. I think it was in that Jungle Boy match where she just kind of, like, she kind of looked at him and was like, "Yeah, I know, you're here."
And you got the other guy, Bryce Rensburg. Moxie has this big old clothesline out of the corner on Sammy. And he's falling backwards himself, too. Like, whoa.
Just like. I think he does that now because he knows that you notice.
He's just a freaking hot dogger, man. They just want to get noticed. It's not their job, though.
But overall,
this match was good. I like this match.
Really good match. And yeah. it really was a bit of an education, I thought. Now, mm-hmm. I'm also of the thought process that like this doesn't have to be the only way you sell injuries in wrestling matches because we are now conditioned enough to watch real fighting and how UFC works when it comes to when people get hurt. Like mm-hmm. so, but this still really works like when you have someone like Danielson who just does it so well. And Jericho obviously as the guy trying to take advantage of it. Like they did this really well and I liked it. And it also works because we always see it the other way like I described where, you know, oh yeah, you know, hurt my foot and I'm hopping around and then oh, super kick. Oh, but then I'll sell after the super kick. So, mm-hmm. you know, I liked seeing this. It was a little bit more old school, but I enjoyed it.
This is good wrestling.
All right, so then Moxley comes out. And they just shook hands. It's just like, all right, mano y mano. But I do wonder.
What's the finish going
to
be? Yeah.
If there's going to be a little bit more of a sadistic side to John mm-hmm. Moxley. And that's, you know, a lot of people think Bryan Danielson is going to win this match, though. I think Bryan Danielson is actually the favorite when it comes to betting odds. So, uh-oh. Yeah.
DraftKings. Not a sponsor. It's interesting because you still have MGF there, right?
Yep.
If Mox does something where he, you know, switches a gear and Toy goes like animalistic on Danielson and that foot and the Blackpool Comic Club gets upset with Moxley.
Yeah, then Regal comes out.
Yeah, yeah. Like it went too far, you know, competition, but you took it too far to win this championship, to, you know, permanently hurting this guy, costing his career. And then you have, if that's the case, then you have this heel going against a heel in MGF. Mm-hmm. And, you know, MGF's trying to fight all he can for not getting cheered because what a reaction he got when he came out. Mm-hmm. What a pop, you know? So interesting. Interesting stuff. Or maybe they have a clean match. Danielson sneaks another one out like he did with Jericho. Mm-hmm. And Moxley sees, you know, over it. And eventually he just boils over like that loss to Danielson, you know, he's a stablemate. He just can't get over it. He can't get over it. And maybe that makes him fly out the handle. But they, without CM Punk there, they need a strong baby faces, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a few right now.
Yeah, I don't sense Mox turning heel necessarily mm-hmm. because, and I, you know, he looks up to Tanahashi, right? And Tanahashi's the ace, and he called himself the ace. And you don't see Tanahashi turning heel, you know? Like, so I kind of wonder if there's something there where he sees himself in that role and just thinks, like, this, you know, we need a baby face here. We need somebody who the audience can cheer for who's, like, not being a dick, you know? I don't know.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see what Tony has. It all depends how long this whole deal is going to be drawn out and who's going to be there, you know, in the end. So we'll see.
I mean, Punk, you know, with that injury,
he's out for 9 months.
He's
right?
out for a long time. So,
yeah, that's true.
You know, you can't really depend on him, and maybe Double or Nothing, maybe he can come back by then. But that's a tough injury, especially because he's a little bit older now, you know, body bouncing back and stuff from hard injuries. That's two injuries in a row for the poor guy.
Yeah.
If no matter how people feel about him, like, yeah, he was a hothead and, you know, not the most professional guy, but still, like, those injuries suck. So,
yeah. If and when, I'm sure it's just a matter of when, you know, Omega comes back, I hope we don't get the whole him and messing with the 6-man tag titles and, you know, I'd rather see him just in the mix, you know?
Yeah, so that's what I was wondering as well, and we can end on this, which is somebody, I think it was Kevin Ely, who does the Boom on the Fight Game Media Network, the AEW podcast with James B.
Love it.
He was saying that, you know, the way that the Lucha Bros lost kind of makes the Trios titles look bad. And I was like, those titles are dead.
Yeah.
The second that the guys who won it don't have it anymore, and the guys who were not even in the finals match have it, those belts are dead. And if the Bucks and Omega are needed elsewhere when they come back, they're not, then they may not even go for the Trios title. So those belts are almost dead on arrival, man.
And what if Orange Cassidy ends up beating Pac for that other goofy title? It's going to make those, I think it makes those 6-man titles even look worse.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. I don't know. We all thought that they had too many titles anyway. So it's also probably pretty hard to keep them organized at the same time.
Yeah.
Especially when all plans are changing constantly. All right.
Don't create extra titles that you don't need to, like the All Atlantic and the 6-man and have the AAA and all the other promotions belts. Like, just focus on your stuff. ROH belts that I'm in a promotion right now.
Yep.
Goodness gracious.
What do you think about Jericho saying he never held the ROH title before?
Did he say that?
He said it on, when he was announcing the Claudio match on Rampage.
Oh goodness. Well, they need something if they're gonna have it. I don't think Jericho would be on that show.
Maybe, well, I mean, unless, you know,
maybe it leads into like they're on their show, right?
Yeah, maybe they get their own TV.
I don't know. Why does he want that belt? Claudio can't even get this world title tournament. He's a world champion.
Yeah. All right, we'll be back next week for the big show. Grand Slam, and if this happens, I may be going to Monday Night Raw because it is in San Jose, and if I do, then I'll get a little, we'll give a little bit of like a live discussion on how that show is, because man, the last time I went to a live Raw, not fun. It's kept me away, just that the bad taste in my mouth of the live Raw from like 5 or 6 years ago. I was like, nope, never again. But I don't know, show's better. I still don't think it's super great or super fantastic, but it's better for sure.
SmackDown's I thought was really good, but Raw, I don't know. It's better, but not SmackDown's the one that is worth watching, I think, right now.
All right. So for John, I'm Double G. We'll see you when we see you. Peace out.